I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Back in the sports bar, Danger and Pataglia. Glad you're with us at AM 950 and 95.7 FM. Radio.com app where you can listen to not just ESPN Rochester, dozens of radio.com sports stations, including our sister station in Cleveland, 92.3 The Fan, where Daryl Ryder, reporter and web editor at The Fan, joins us now. Daryl, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Daryl, the Browns been active here. We'll get to Kareem Hunt a little bit, but let's get this out of the way. The rumors from yesterday. Is John Dorsey really making a play for OBJ? What, if anything, are you hearing at this point?
Well, the talks have gone from hot and heavy, or at least the rumors have gone from hot and heavy to a cool chill mode right now. The thing about John Dorsey is he likes to operate in secret. He does not like things out there on the rumor mill. Last year, he executed three trades before the new league year began, and they caught everybody by surprise. And two of those players, Demarius Randle, Jarvis Landry, very significant in the team's turnaround in 2018, caught everybody by surprise. So while it is exciting to think about a potential trade like that going down, there's some fiscal responsibility on the part of the New York Giants involved here. There's a little reality involved. And then there's also the you got to set aside the hype. So I can tell you, though, the Giants and Browns, they talked. Okay, Dorsey and Gettleman, they talked. In fact, they actually got caught on camera at the combine on television. But I can't speak to the seriousness of those negotiations. I can tell you I've heard about 15 different trade scenarios between the two teams.
Daryl, speaking of fiscal responsibility, Jamie Collins released yesterday, played all 16 games last season. Not enough of a value, or was there more to this cut?
Didn't live up to the contract extension he was given. You know, he was acquired from New England in 2016 for a third-round draft pick. Former EVP, GM, whatever you want to call him, Sashi Brown, basically championed him as the one of the cornerstones of the big, massive analytics-driven rebuild. And the bottom line is Jamie Collins got paid like a Pro Bowler, did not play like a Pro Bowler for the Cleveland Browns. So they paid all $26.5 million to the guaranteed in that massive extension that he had gotten from the Browns. And so they went ahead and saved themselves $9.5 million in salary cap room by letting him go, because again, he just was not playing up to the level in which he was being paid. I think he was slated to make between $10 and $11 million this year.
He's the Browns beat reporter for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, Daryl Ryder, our guest. So I would imagine there's a period of time where you're not going to have Kareem Hunt. I think that's kind of fair to say that his status is in question. So with that being said, why these rumors for Duke Johnson? I mean, wouldn't you want to keep him around? Wouldn't he be more valuable to perhaps flip the trade deadline as opposed to now, Daryl?
Fish out of water. It's the way it's always been. Duke's a good player. The problem is the Browns have never really figured out an effective way to use him and maximize his talent. Kareem Hunt is a better football player than Duke Johnson is. I don't think that there's any debate there. And obviously, once Kareem Hunt is allowed to actually play football again, he will be taking all of Duke Johnson snaps. Therefore, Duke becomes expendable. They will either move him as we approach the new league year within the week. They'll maybe hang on to him until they figure out or find out from the league just how long Kareem Hunt will not be available in 2019. Or they might wait all the way to the trade deadline when we all assume that that's about the timeline when Hunt will be allowed to play. And then you move him, then you use him for the first couple of weeks to get you by until Kareem Hunt's suspension, assuming he does in fact receive discipline from the league office, expires. But Duke Johnson is not long for the Cleveland Browns, and I think that that's probably one of the worst kept secrets right now.
Daryl Ryder writes for the 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, our sister station covering the Cleveland Browns and more for The Fan, joining us now in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Daryl, head coaches being promoted from within, they usually don't get that second contract. Extensions are rare, especially the last 10 that have been promoted from within. Point blank, did the Browns hire the right guy in Freddie Kitchens?
I think so. He's the devil they know, and I mean that in the best of ways. John Dorsey was around Freddie for about a year. Freddie obviously had a quick ascension from running backs coach to offensive coordinator when Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley were fired midseason. He was a big reason that Baker Mayfield was able to turn around his rookie year, set an NFL rookie record for touchdown passes, 27, set a franchise rookie record for passing yardage in a single season. I think that they did make the right move there, considering what was out there. You look at some of these head coaches that were hired around the league, there's nothing appealing about many of them. So I think considering what was actually available to hire, I do think that Freddie Kitchens deserved a shot, and he's going to get his shot. What's going to be interesting to see now is how Freddie Kitchens handles right out of the gate the expectation that this football team is going to win a lot of games. Rather than, you know, they're building a program, et cetera, that you normally see with hires. You know, Pat Shurmur in New York hired to build a program versus Freddie Kitchens here in Cleveland. He's been hired to win football games immediately.
You brought up expectation. I mean, is that the expectation from the Browns? You're going to have a winning season right now with a rookie head coach and a young roster? Is that realistic, Daryl?
Yeah, it is. They expect to make the playoffs this year. That's how serious this is. And you're going to see it is a situation where they've gone from just trying to win a game, okay,
right.
And to now, 18 months later, they expect to be a playoff team this year, and that's why John Dorsey is going to be extremely aggressive in trying to get this thing turned around as far as the roster goes, supplementing what he was able to do last year. He switched out something like 44 players of the roster in 1 year. And he's not going to have to do as much this year, but he is going to be looking to add three to four more pieces that are the blue chip elite talent caliber player.
Daryl, I'm curious. There was a lot of chatter around the team when the Wickersham report came out. I'm curious if you get the sense that the dysfunction that's detailed in that piece is coming to an end. You're mentioning expectations of this team making the postseason. I'm wondering if that's a realistic expectation or if, you know, just maybe missing the playoffs is a realistic expectation. I guess who's setting the expectation? Is it more dictated by the fans or is this the internal expectation? Like, hey, if we don't make the playoffs this season, there are going to be some heads to roll. And I think that speaks to, you know, some of that dysfunction that we read about in the Wickersham report. What can you tell us about the team's reaction to that?
Well, first of all, the Wickersham report was just a rehash of everything we already knew. The only thing I learned out of that was the fact that Hugh Jackson told John Dorsey and Jimmy Haslam to get the F out of his office.
Yeah.
So other than that, I learned nothing from that report other than maybe some of the little ancillary quotes around the certain situation. So that's in the past, and that's the team's reaction. Their eyes are focused forward in what they're trying to build here. The expectations are internal expectations. You know, they're trying to win a Super Bowl. I know that's ridiculous to say for a team that went 4-44, 1-31, 0-16, but that's where they're at. So they have raised the bar internally with John Dorsey now to the highest of level, and that's why this year get to the playoffs, get in the mix in January. Get that experience, and then maybe in 2020 you become, with another offseason, a legitimate Super Bowl contender. But I think their expectations are reasonable. Listen, they won five of their final seven games, okay? Had they not had Hugh Jackson as a coach in the first eight, multiply that, they're a 10-1 football team. They're a 10-16. So if you're 10-6 last year, you can take that second half of the season and project it to a 10-6 record. With an incomplete roster, with deficiencies, with areas of weakness, and throw in another offseason of a draft, more free agent acquisitions, more trade possibilities. I think that absolutely this football team can end what is now the longest playoff drought in the National Football League, which I believe spans 16 seasons now.
Daryl, it used to be Buffalo, by the way. Speaking of
I'm aware.
Yeah, so you know, comparing it to Buffalo, when we hear Jimmy Haslam, now in Buffalo, Terry Pegula has made mistakes, but by and large, Terry Pegula lives down in Florida, flies in on game day, and he lets his football people do things. I still think he has an influence, but for us on the outside, reading the Wickersham report, I kind of get the sense that Haslam is there all the time and, you know, putting his nose in on everything. What is your sense of Jimmy Haslam? Has he learned anything in his years of owning this team?
Well, here's the thing with Jimmy Haslam. And I don't want to defend him because he has made a bevy of critical mistakes. He's also dealt with people that haven't delivered on their promises, okay? And his first executive was Joe Banner. What did Joe Banner do? He hired Michael freaking Lombardi to be the GM, who's like the biggest snake in the National Football League. They ended up with Rob Chudzinski as their coach to replace Pat Shurmur, and Chudzinski wasn't ready. Great guy, just wasn't ready. Okay, lasted a year. And they had to blow him out, and they had to blow out Michael Lombardi, and they had to blow out Joe Banner. And so it became this vicious cycle of people that he paid a lot of money to, but just really never was able to trust. Well, last year, when they fired Hugh Jackson actually survived one more week than he was supposed to survive because John Dorsey was ready to fire Hugh Jackson after they lost at Tampa Bay in overtime. And Haslam resisted. And then when they lost to Pittsburgh, Dorsey basically said, "Have you seen enough of this nonsense yet? I'm telling you, if you fire this guy, we're going to start winning football games." Lo and behold, they fire him. They fire Todd Haley. They get the cancer out of the building, the bickering, all that stuff. Elevate Freddie Kitchens. Elevate Greg Williams to the interim head coaching job. And what do you know? They start winning. And so what that did was it earned the trust at Jimmy Haslam for John Dorsey. And that's why Dorsey was really able to drive this head coaching search. Freddie Kitchens is not going to be a power-hungry guy. He doesn't have a big ego. He just wants to coach football and win some games. And that's always been the problem with the Browns. People never stay in their lane. It's always turned into this big internal combustible situation where everyone's fighting with everybody, trying to get the love and affection of Jimmy Haslam, blaming each other. You got the personnel department blaming the coaching staff and the coaching staff blaming the personnel department. And that's just, it became a vicious cycle of toxicity. And I think now that's all been cleared up. You have Freddie Kitchens now is going to report to John Dorsey instead of reporting to Jimmy Haslam. And I think that kind of takes care of some of this stuff that was going on where everyone's buying for Jimmy Haslam here. So yeah, I do think that Haslam's learned some things. Certainly he's made his mistakes. Also, it finally appears that he has a general manager who's delivering on what is being promised, which makes it easier for Haslam to trust.
Daryl Ryder, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, our guest here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Daryl, having your quarterback is one hell of a deodorant when you have a lot of dysfunction within a team. At least you're going into this year's draft knowing you don't have to worry about the quarterback with Baker in place. Coming out of the combine last weekend, which direction do you think the Browns are going to go with that number 17 overall pick? What impressed you from what you heard about the team and their observations from Indianapolis?
I think they're going to go defense. That's where they need the most help. Defensive tackles, what I've got circled. They want someone long, athletic, can collapse the middle of that pocket, stop the run, get those tackles behind the line of scrimmage. They didn't get enough of that last year, and at least on a consistent basis. So I think that's ultimately where they're going to go. They've got linebacker issues. They already released Jamie Collins. They're not done shaking up the linebackers. Corners. This is a passing league. You need a ton of those guys. You know, we talked earlier about Odell Beckham Jr. and, you know, wide receiver having that prototypical number one, 6'3", 200 plus pound, 4'3", 40 guy. It all sounds good, but look what Baker Mayfield was able to do last year without that guy on his roster and how he was able to balance the offense out, especially in that second half of the season. So I think the priority in the draft is going to be defensive tackle, especially because this is such a deep, deep draft on that side of the football and especially on that defensive line.
Yeah, if the Browns are thinking, hey, this, you know, this is win now mode at 17, Do they stay there? Do they entertain perhaps trading up there? I only ask that question because I know a team picking at number 9, Buffalo, that would love to trade down here. They've been pretty much open about trading down.
Right. Well, I Dorsey has 10 draft picks that is at his disposal right now. So he has a tremendous amount of flexibility. He's got extra. I know he's got 2 extra picks in round 5, and I believe the other extra round pick is in round 4. So I think that he's going to be willing to move up and down throughout the draft. They're not going to draft 10 players. Cleveland does not need 10 members of a draft class. So he's going to condense some of those picks. He might enroll some of those pick or two into next year's draft as well, because you never can have enough assets. I don't know. You know, I think obviously it depends on how the top 8 falls and what's starting to fall down the board. Privately, the Browns are really hoping that some of these teams get really stupid and take some quarterbacks high in this draft, especially in the top 15, because none of them are worth it. And that would mean you can push some quality players down to the Browns at 17, and they can just stay put and take a player, or they could trade down.
I love what you're saying about the quarterbacks, Darrell. I am not enamored with any of these guys that are potentially going in the first round, whether it be Locke, whether it be Haskins, whether it be Murray. I just think, you know, any team that is going to take that gamble with that high a draft pick on one of these quarterbacks is never going to see that value in return.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, listen, last year, everyone's fighting over Baker Mayfield's height, okay? He came in at under 6'1". He was, I think, just off the top of my head, I think he was like 6'5" at the combine. I believe that that's what he measured. Kyler Murray came in at just a smidge over 5'10". So, you know, everyone's freaking out over Baker Mayfield's height last year. But this year, it's like, well, Baker had a great rookie year, so now we don't have to freak out over quarterback height. You know, the kid didn't impress me at all in Indianapolis, one iota. I've heard conflicting stuff, but I don't really care because the Browns don't need a quarterback because they have Baker Mayfield. Thank goodness for that, because this is an awful year to need a quarterback. I think Dwayne Haskins is the best quarterback in the draft, and he's probably going to go second, or I've heard even someone say he's third. But he's extremely intelligent. He's got a lot of upside. But outside of those two guys, there's nothing. So, yeah, I mean, the Giants, I fully expect them probably to reach for one of these quarterbacks in the draft. And I think I've seen where Miami is projected to be potentially looking at one of these guys in the draft. So if you guys want to blow your first round pick basically throwing darts at a wall with a blindfold on, God bless you. But I don't see this quarterback class as being even close to remotely good. That's not to say that one of these guys might make a career of themselves, but right now, going into the draft, I am impressed with absolutely none of them, and I am so glad I get to pay attention. Absolutely none of them.
You can listen to Darrell's station, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, on the radio.com app, where you hear ESPN Rochester as well. Darrell, tell all our listeners where they can read more of your work as well.
923thefan.com. All kinds of good stuff. Actually, as soon as I hang up the phone with you, fine gentlemen, I'll be knocking out another John Dorsey, How He Does Business piece, because I think people are getting a little ahead of themselves with all these rumors that kind of getting thrown out there. As I said, he operates in secret, and, well, I'm going to explain all that online. But 923thefan.com.
Darrell, I can attest to operating in secret, because our show ends at 6, and it was a Friday night last year, and we sign off the air, and we're like, oh, we're going to go back on the air here, because that trade, we had no idea Tyrod Taylor was going to Cleveland up until it was announced. So,
Yeah. And what was interesting is, you know, Tyrod and the Browns have been tied together for a couple of years with the previous regime with Shashi Brown, but, you know, nothing really materialized for that. And then, boom, out of nowhere, Tyrod Taylor, and it was like fireworks, just one right after another. Tyrod Taylor to the Browns, Jarvis Landry to the Browns, Demaryius Randle. We're like, holy smokes, John Dorsey's cleaning house, and the loser of the year doesn't start for another 3 days. So I fully expect that that's what's going to start to happen Monday afternoon when the legal tampering period begins. And then on Wednesday the 13th at 4 p.m., everything becomes official. I anticipate at least one major move, and then a couple of secondary moves to follow that.
Great stuff, Darrell. Appreciate your time. I look forward to talking to you again real soon, all right?
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Darrell Ryder. You can read his work at 923thefan.com, our sister station in Cleveland, 923 The Fan, a radio.com sports station. You can Download the radio.com app, and if you're a Cleveland fan, listen to their brand of sports talk anytime, anywhere.
I mean, I'm all for having high expectations, but to hear that the fan base is expecting playoffs, look, you've got a fun young quarterback, but are you really going to sneak past Pittsburgh? Are you really going to get past Baltimore? Can you get one of those wild cards? I mean, we say it all the time here on this show. You got to manage your expectations. I would say 8-8, 9-7, that's a step in the right direction, but to expect the playoffs in 2019 for Cleveland, that's a little lofty.
I need to see it. Look, last season was nice. They turned a corner when they fired Hugh Jackson. I think that speaks more to what Hugh Jackson is. I'll believe that the dysfunction is over in Cleveland when we actually do see them make the postseason. I'm not going to say that they should make the postseason or that they're talented enough to make the postseason. I don't know what Pittsburgh looks like without Antonio Brown, if Antonio Brown isn't a Steeler next year. If Le'Veon Bell somehow winds up in Baltimore, ooh. Yeah, now I'm excited about that team. Baltimore, by the way, making a move on one of their free agent tight ends. We got to tell you about that and more. We have NFL appetizers on the way next. Top stories from around the NFL served in bite-sized form. Appetizers brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Yeah, some of the stories we are chasing for you mentioned the Ravens. How about a receiver that a lot of Bills fans think you should target? Terrell Williams from the Chargers. We'll give you the latest rumors surrounding the New York Giants and Odell Beckham Jr. as well.
All coming up. NFL appetizers next. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.